be Stanley. Connor Newt, his fifth straight day in for Ian. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And Robbie and Rex Show is sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Fellas, how we doing? How is everybody doing? I know, Connor, you probably have some accumulated fatigue. Jake,
you're get used to it a little bit.
Right, that's what I'm thinking is, you know, it's only my first one and the only one of the week that I have to wake up early. Connor may be getting used to it, but, you know, also five straight days, it can wear on you a little
bit.
We're
going to undo it tonight, don't worry.
Friday is the big, yeah, for me it's like sometimes the nap hits harder.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like it's more necessary, so there's a little bit of a cumulative effect. But you have been traveling.
Yes.
Jake Lyman.
Yes, I flight landed a little under 12 hours ago. So we hop off the plane, right? It was like 5:36 we got in and, you know, get some rest after the hockey game last night and get on in here. Excited to be back.
Yeah. Yeah, so I it's unfortunate. This series is fantastic, and it's really unfortunate that, I mean, it's great that it went to overtime, that Florida did it again. It's never happened before in a series where you've had two tying goals that late. But also it's unfortunate because, like, I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't do overtime. So I had to watch the highlights of the Draisaitl, Leon Draisaitl goal, which ties the Stanley Cup final in overtime. But, man, it's been pretty special.
Yeah, I saw Panthers go up 3-0 in the first, and I was like, sweet, I might actually get to go to bed decently early and not have to worry about missing anything. And I don't know what the Oilers did during that first intermission, but they tie it. They take the lead. Obviously, Panthers score with 19 seconds left to send it to overtime. But you're right. This has been one of the back-to-back years. We've had pretty great Stanley Cup finals between these two teams. Now you're heading to Game 5 back in Edmonton. I think it's going to be a good finish to the series again.
Yeah, I'm really excited about these last three that I'm counting on three games in a Game 7. It just seems like it's destined for that, and just incredible, you know, for the Oilers to, you know, they switch goalies, Skinner's out. My gosh, his name is eluding me, and my gosh, that really bothers me. Pickard is in. Thank
right.
you. I figured it out. And one kept talking and figured it out. And, you know, he had one huge save when it was 3-1. And, man, it's a tremendous performance by him as the highlights play behind you, Jake. But, yeah, I just thought it was over completely. And I think Robbie said it going into that game. I mean, that was like a legacy game for those guys. Not that you couldn't come back down 3-1, but, you know, it's going to be real tough to pull that off. This is a big, big moment for those two guys in particular, Draisaitl and McDavid.
Right. I think I said when the third goal scored in what? It was like a span of 7 minutes that the Panthers scored three in the first period. I was like, I know they came back from three games down last year and forced Game 7, but I thought that was the series. You know, you lose 6-1 in Game 3. You go down 3-0 in the first period in Game 4. It kind of felt like the Panthers were ready to run away with it. But that second period, even though Edmonton was able to tie the game up, Sergei Bobrovsky was awesome too. Like the Oilers could have scored six goals on him in that period. He had multiple huge saves, another one in the third period. I think he had a big one in overtime that I saw that I was asleep for. But but what a game! And I think you're right. I would be shocked if one of these two teams is able to win back-to-back games and finish it off in six.
Yeah, I mean, I guess anything's possible. But the games themselves, you know, have just been fantastic. Look, like, for my money, I think both of these series and the NBA series right now is exceeding my expectations, just because I didn't even know that it would be competitive. But you know, as you may learn, Jake, if I say anything good about the NBA, people get mad. So you know, we must say that the NBA sucks in modern life. But I've been happy with that series. But this series is, like, this is vintage, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs hockey. I mean, it's it wasn't even – we've talked about this before. Like, I didn't necessarily think we were going to have a rematch again this year. It wasn't – it didn't look like it was like – it wasn't like, you know, these are clearly the best two teams. I mean, I think Florida has been one of those teams. You knew Edmonton could get there. It wasn't like this was some preordained thing, but now that they're playing, it's like this had to be it. This had to be the final series.
I think you're right. And I think it was last year we were talking when the Panthers went up 3-0 in that series last year that the Stanley Cup Finals just hadn't been all that competitive. It'd been a while since we'd seen a Game 7. It was Golden Knights in 5 or 6 over the Panthers the year before that. The Avalanche kind of ran away with it the year before that. It's really refreshing to get these, especially overtime hockey in the Stanley Cup Final. Like, I don't know if there's anything better in sports than overtime playoff hockey, let alone in a Stanley Cup Final where, I mean, one goal changes the entire series. If Draisaitl doesn't score and the Panthers are able to go up 3-1, series probably is over. But instead, now we're talking about a huge Game 5, Edmonton back on home ice with a chance to take the series lead. I think it is the best thing in sports. I think baseball can maybe give it a run for its money when you get into late innings in a close game, but overtime, Stanley Cup Final hockey might be the best thing in sports.
It's up there. There's no doubt. And you know, the fatigue starts to set in. All of a sudden, you just have mistake after mistake and primo opportunity after primo, and it's like you can't. There's nothing you can do about it, and it's just you're just on the edge of your seat. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, a great pitcher, great hitter, high leverage, late inning postseason.
Right.
You know, the pitcher batter confrontation. That's now I know, you know, again, some people love baseball, some people don't, whatever. But I mean, I think that's way up there too. But yeah, this would be, yeah. So last year was the first seven gamer since the Blues beat the Bruins in 19.
Right. And that so was, 5 years.
Yeah. So, and gosh, you know, really. Then you go back to the Bruins over the Canucks in 11. So we have not had a lot of this. Now I'm getting flashbacks of the Penguins beating my Red Wings in 09. Oh, that was a killer. There aren't too many of these. So if we get back to back seven game series between these teams, nothing to complain about. And you know, we've talked about McDavid. We've talked about, like, if it doesn't work out, does Connor McDavid look around and say, you know, maybe this isn't the place for me. Maybe I'm going to hold off on signing that gigantic extension, which is going to be offered to him this summer. We'll
right.
See.
And that is a big question of if back-to-back years they get this close and come up short, does he start to wonder if it's ever going to get done in Edmonton? Connor McDavid being available in any way across the NHL would rival any free agency in any sport ever.
Yeah, it'd be something.
I mean, watching him play last night, the way that he handles the puck is just different than any other player, at least I've seen in my lifetime. It's like he's playing basketball and everybody else is out there on skates, which they are. I mean, he made the one defenseman fall. I'm blanking on who it was. And if it wasn't for Bobrovsky sliding the pad over, he would have scored easily.
Yeah, he just ripped through everybody.
Right. Yeah. So, we'll see. I would think that at this point they kind of get it done. I think last night's a big momentum shift, and now you do have home ice advantage back again. You just got to win your home games, and you have an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. But, yeah, if he doesn't get it done, I think a lot of questions are going to start to rise of whether he wants to be in Edmonton long term.
Yeah, and maybe there is nothing there. I mean, maybe it's just a no-brainer, and he's bought in. I mean, look, when it comes down to it, even if you don't win it, we are talking about two straight trips to the doorstep. It would be very deflating to get this close 2 years in a row and not get it done. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job around him, all things considered. Now you're gonna the number's going up for him. You know, the number's going up to an unprecedented number. The cap keeps going up, but you know, there's certainly no guarantee that if he looks around, goes somewhere else, unless there's just somewhere he really wants to live other than Edmonton, which I could think of about a million places on the planet that you could probably put on that list. But, you know, I'd like to see them win it. I'd like to see him win it because he is. He's too good not to lift the cup. And so, you know, as much as, I mean, Florida's a great team, easy to root for too. I think Paul Maurice is easy to root for. But it'd be great to see McDavid get it done. You know, to your point on home ice, that's one thing though. Is like it doesn't necessarily mean that much.
It means less in hockey, for sure. I think you're right too about You know, Connor McDavid, great player. I'd like to see him win it. And they have surrounded him with a lot of talent. But the goaltending has been a problem the last couple of years. And I wonder if maybe if he does sign that extension, if he starts to have some input on, hey, go out there and get us somebody who can stop the puck because we're doing everything we can to score on the other end. But when Stuart Skinner's given up three goals in the first period, you're putting them in a hole that they're not always going to be able to dig themselves out of and get a win.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the goaltending could be better. They are another example of why everybody would love to have a great goalie, but there are things more important than that in today's
For
NHL.
Sure. Yeah.
Which then I think, I look at the Preds, and I'm like, man, you know, could have.
$8 million a year.
Yeah, exactly. For, you know, at least last year, not very good performance. If you'd like to join the conversation, the game phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. I am in the chat today. I am in the text line today. It is working. This is exciting. Also, the YouTube chat going, and I'm disappointed the YouTube chat has started up and no one has ripped Brian Ellerby. That's usually the first thing that we get in the YouTube chat. All right, we come back. We are going to get into the Tennessee Titans. So a lot of Cam Ward yesterday. A lot of Cam Ward conversation. He was available. He had some interesting stuff to say after an interesting day on the field, and we'll get into a lot of that. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman in for Robbie. Connor Newt wrapping up his week in place of Ian and playing some Aerosmith. Nice job, man. We love Aerosmith?
We do.
Okay, good. Good to know. Old souls. So Cam Ward yesterday apparently had not a great day. Had a couple picks. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's mini camp, but he threw a couple picks. I know one of them he said, well, it's 7-on-7. It doesn't count. I'm like, all right, I like that. You know, it doesn't count.
He said it's not real football.
Not real football, yeah. I don't know if any of it's real football, but it's even less real football. When you play 7-on-7.
Right.
So he threw another pick, had some ups and downs, but I mean, I think overall, you know, performed fine this week. But I got to say, Cam Ward, he is becoming a must listen interview. Definitely not afraid to, you know, to speak freely, which I appreciate. You know, that means we have to bleep stuff. So I hope Connor bleeped some of these clips out. But let's listen to a little bit of Cam Ward after practice yesterday.
What's your plan for the next 5 to 6 weeks
before you report to camp, and will you gather with your receivers and some of the other quarterbacks and go over things just to kind of refresh everybody?
Just work out, stay in the playbook, and forgot the ball. So
we saw a pretty good back and forth with you and Jeffrey, I guess, on his first day back. What's that been like, and what's it been like kind of exchanging trash talk with the defense?
It's been good. I need somebody like that, especially somebody like Jeff who's going to let you know he's there. Every time he's one of the best defensive tackles in the league, if not the best. I'm glad he's on my team. I'm glad he's not one of the ones who gets a chance to get a free shot at me. But, I mean, I'm happy I'm playing with him. I know he's, you know, excited about my future, but, you know, I can't wait to get on the field with him on Sunday.
That was I guess I should give credit on the Twitter. That Andrew, our friend Andrew, that was his tweet. Did you just, like, mute it, or did you fast forward?
I cut out.
You just cut out the middle of it, right?
I cut out the middle. I cut out the R in the fart.
Okay. More. You don't like bleeps?
More effectively.
I kind of like bleeps.
The bleep is more dramatic.
I didn't have a beep readily available.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You did it more effectively than Jared did when I produced for him a couple weeks ago. He had one of the Raw Room Darren Bates clips talking about Belichick, and he barely cut out any of the R when he was editing it, but you did a good job. I don't think the FCC is going to come calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Yeah, I almost thought that it would like you sped it up, like you just went past it. Okay, so then so that's him on throw the bleep out of the football.
Bleep.
Here's this is a Kaharski. This is courtesy of Kaharski on his picks, which I just spoiled the surprise, but we can listen to him actually say it. It's better when you hear him say it.
The first one.
707, I don't count that. It's not real football. I'm glad I threw it to Cody. That was 6 points for my team. The second one, I should have sidearmed it. I don't know why I did some generic stuff. And we're just getting better off the field. Got to continue to move backwards with my eyes. And then really just, you know, playing clean football, especially in the red zone, I have to take care of the ball. I'm aware of that. But, you know, I'd rather do all the crazy stuff in practice so the game I know I can get away with.
So there you go. Yeah, and by the way, he's referencing the like the leadership teams.
Yeah, the eight teams.
Right, the eight different teams, and which I don't totally understand. I don't actually don't even really want to totally understand it. But the bottom line is he's trying to get different people hanging out and foster some leadership and make some
right.
competitive stuff, and it's whatever. It's fine. Like it's not worth having a parade over. It's not worth getting mad over. I mean, some people who listen will want to have a parade for it. Some people who work at the station want to, like, make a big deal out of it and, you know, condemn it. It's fine.
Right. Cam Ward saying that he's happy that one of his leadership teammates was the one who picked him off isn't going to lead to any kind of results on Sundays, because if you're playing the 49ers, Fred Warner's not going to be on his leadership team. So I don't think Cam Ward's going to be very happy if he hits him for an interception.
That's right. Now, that is real football.
Yes. So, yeah, once they get the pads on.
But Cam is look, it's hard not to like him, and I'm trying to imagine, you know, moving forward once there is real football. I think he's going to be like, I think he's from a media perspective, he's going to be really good, you know. Now when you get into some rough times and you have a rough day and you lose or whatever, it'll be interesting how that dynamic works. But what do we think about not the play, but just sort of the you know, the swagger and sort of the personality that we're seeing more and more of here in the early going for Cam Ward?
I think you have to have that kind of confidence and swagger if you're going to play quarterback at a high level in the NFL. And I get that there's plenty of quarterbacks who are confident who don't end up being very good. Like Will Levis, I think, had a similar type of swagger, maybe in a different way, but you could tell that he was going out there confident last offseason, and I'm sure that there were a lot of very similar discussions about Will Levis, and obviously the results didn't follow last season. But I don't think you can go out there playing scared. I think you look even further back. One of the large reasons Marcus Mariota didn't work out here is because I just don't think he had the dog in himself, the innate confidence that he was going to go out there and dominate somebody on every single Sunday, on every single play. Cam Ward seems to at least have that mindset. And who knows, maybe if he has a couple of bad weeks in a row, he starts to lose some of that confidence, but I wouldn't bet on it. It seems like that dude, he believes in himself no matter what the results are out there on the field, which is good, but also you wonder if it could get him into trouble if he starts to become a little overconfident in his abilities.
Yeah, look, I mean, first of all, there are comparisons to Levis, because one of the things about Levis was, you know, the death picks, the occasional just being too loose with the football, and, you know, just not really calculating risk reward, you know, in the moment on the field. I mean, that's a thing with him. That was a thing with Cam Ward at times at Miami last year. I mean, he made some plays you absolutely can't try in the NFL. Don't know if he will or not, but we'll have some other comments from him that are kind of along those lines that I thought were interesting. On the YouTube chat, Jared says, "We got ourselves a farting dog." Distinguished Gentleman says, "Cam's a winner. We finally got us one. We are due." So, again, like, look, I'm not going to sit here and throw cold water on everything. I like it, too. I like the demeanor. I do like the confidence. We can have and we're going to have Jared at 7. Has an interesting definition of confidence. Apparently you're not allowed to have confidence. I don't know. He read some Bill Belichick book thing, and I'm like, I'm so confused by the word confidence. I must have a different definition than he does. But there is also the, you know, the fact that you have to change your game, you know, at this level. And so I do wonder if he is going to be too much of a risk taker. I mean, that's my concern, is just on the field. Like, you have to taper that down. In this league, they'll make you pay way more than any college football team will make you pay.
Yes, the windows are a lot tighter, and you know, you have to have perfect timing, and you can't be taking, you can't throw the ball back over the middle of the field. Like, that's the one rule, and I know that's what he did yesterday in the not real interception that he threw to Cody Barton, but you can't be rolling to your right and try and throw back to the middle of the field. I think it was the Duke game last year where he had a play like that where he was almost at the sideline and just tried to huck it back over the middle of the field, and it ended up being a huge pick. Which, if you watch his film, you're going it's kind of similar to Will Levis at times. I think in a different way. Like, Levis is so tight out there, and I think he's trying to do too much. Cam Ward, I think it is more just, I'm going to play loose, and I believe I can beat you with this. But it is the same of, like, you'll have back-to-back plays where he makes a throw where you say, I don't know a lot of guys on earth who can make that throw, and then he'll make a bonehead play the very next snap. So
yeah, there was also the Cal game. It was, I think, the perfect representation of, like, what you hope to bring to the NFL and also what has to not come to the NFL. He made a play just like you're talking about in that game. They were toast. They were going to lose. Then at the end, the two drives, and he was spectacular, you know. And that's when it matters most. But I thought that game was a perfect representation of the pluses and minuses. You're right. I think Levis would be – some of his stuff is like – rather than take a sack or rather than just make some air play, he tries something weird. Whereas Cam Ward, I do think it's a little more maybe calculated and just like, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and rip this one.
Right. I think Will Levis was just trying – they're both trying to do too much, but it feels like opposite ends of the spectrum of, like, Will Levis was – I have to make a play, I have to make a play, I have to make a play, whereas Cam Ward is, I can make a play, and I'm going to make a play, and sometimes that gets you in trouble, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's probably better, but yeah, exactly. It can still get you in trouble. It's going to be really interesting. Now, there's also another thing that came out yesterday. Did you see the ping pong thing?
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to follow, and I don't even know who put the video.
It was Ridley.
Ridley put it out.
Yeah.
Apparently he beat Cam Ward in ping pong. Apparently Cam Ward smashed his paddle, and then the video picks up with the smash paddle, Cam Ward going to the shower, and a lot of bad words being yelled. I mean, I think playfully, but like,
right,
you know, at each other, which gets into the whole so competitive, he gets mad if he loses at checkers. You know, it's like it's great.
It's June. So yeah, we're talking about this.
We're talking about
Cam Ward losing in ping pong and smashing his paddle. But the thing I did like from that was the tweet that came out. You saw all of the teammates from across the board were kind of enjoying it. Like, I saw Jarvis Brownlee Jr. tweeted about it. I think Bryce Oliver tweeted about it. So it does seem like Cam Ward has done a nice job of, and maybe it's the leadership teams, maybe it's just Cam Ward's personality in general. It feels like he has already established himself as a guy that people gravitate towards to in a very short time.
I totally agree with that. And that is good. But we do have some concerns also, which is good to see. Some ups and downs, pluses and minuses for fans. We'll get to some of your reaction on Cam Ward next. Robbie Rex, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'd like to remind you to tune in to Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Corpus Christi Tritons in Clarksville, the F&M Bank Arena. Led Zeppelin. Pregame starts 4:30. No, that's not Led Zeppelin. It's Styx. What am I talking about? Pregame starts at 4:30 p.m. Kickoffs at 5, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. I should absolutely have my classic rock card revoked for calling Styx riff Led Zeppelin. My goodness, I'm sorry, Jimmy Page. Not that I have any problem with Styx.
This is a Pittsburgh staple.
Yes, yes. Yep, absolutely. Tommy Shaw, you know, he can rock it on the guitar, too. All right, so we're talking Cam Ward, and I am very interested to actually hear what Jared has to say. I'm a little confused by it. Like, apparently you're not allowed to have confidence, so we will sort that out with Jared. But apparently it was based on this comment, and this is from a Jill Jelnick tweet, by the way. This comment, when first of all, Cam was initially asked, what's your confidence level? He said 10. And then it goes from there. So here's Cam Ward on that.
would you say your confidence level is before this break heading into training camp?
10.
You ever had a 4, a 5, or a 6, and when did you get to 10?
Nah, I'll probably never get that low. Even if I, you know, throw a 4-book game this year. At the end of the day, I'm a gunslinger. I live by that. I always die by it. So Coach Callahan knows what type of guy he has in the quarterback room and me. So, you know, I'm just thankful that I got guys around me to help me out, along with B.A., Bradley, and Brandon, and Will. And Tim in there, they helped me out a lot, you know, just getting me right with the protections. Then also the receiving corps, they're going to be able to, you know, compliment my game a lot.
So – confidence at a time. I mean, I don't know. I think.
What do you want him to say?
Yeah, like you gotta find me the clip of someone saying, "Yeah, I'm about a 4.5 right now." You know, maybe I can get to a 7. I mean,
7's probably my ceiling.
Yeah. Again, it's like the generic. What is your confidence level? Now, again, if you want to get more specific, you know, what's your confidence level like? You know, in calling protections or whatever, or reading coverages, or right now that you could start. I mean, you could ask things like that, and a lot of guys would still say 10. Oh, right. Yep, sure. It's so high. I mean, that's what it's whatever. It's what you expect here. The thing about that comment that I thought was like a little bit of like a was the whole gunslinger thing. You know, I'm gonna live by it. And I'm gonna always die by it. Like, well, don't die by it too much. And I like the 4-book game. I've never heard it that.
I hadn't either.
So a 4-pick game is a 4-book game.
I would make the
4 books.
Yeah,
right. I mean, it's got to be what he's talking about. So. Yeah, like, if, you know, if you have 4-book games, I mean, that's not good, you know, so.
Maybe he's following in the footsteps of Jameis Winston as the number one pick, and, you know, Jameis seems to never lose any confidence. So I understand the issue with the gunslinger thing because it's very rare that you find a guy who's just going to rip it every single time who isn't going to throw 15 to 20 interceptions per season. But what do you want him to say, I think, is the question. Like, if he had said 7, I think Jared probably still would have been ripping him and saying, if you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL and your confidence is anything lower than a 10, then you're not ready to hit the field. So it's like,
That's an interesting point.
It's like
we'll
a double-edged sword. Yeah, I kind of do want to ask Jared. Like, what would you have said if he was like, I'm a 6 today, but hoping to be by the end of training camp, hope to be like a 7 or an 8? I don't think that would have gone over well either.
Yeah, I mean, confidence is, I understand that, like, you know, you put in work to earn confidence. There's some, you know, like, achievement that obviously helps you earn confidence. But also, like, you still have to have there. I mean, everybody at some point is on the ground floor of something or starting out something, right? I mean, it's good to have confidence. Not overconfidence, but I don't know. If you're going to be asked that question, I think you're almost always – if someone's asked that question in his situation, I feel like that's always going to be the response. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line, driven by WilsonCunningham.com, says, I'd still like to see a sense of urgency. We all know 7-on-7 isn't real, but if you're still doing stupid bleep in, quote, not real football, then when will you learn? And he also said, all that toxic positivity just inflating Ward's perception of himself. I don't know if that's like a joke or not, but – it's also like if you do throw picks in minicamp, I mean, you don't need to fall on the sword for that to me, you know?
Yeah. Again, it's still June and toxic positivity. I think last year you maybe could have used that phrase to describe what was going on with the Titans, because I think if you looked at the roster last year, there was no reason to say that team was going to be a contender. But that was kind of the vibes that were coming out of that building, is that they were going to go win the AFC South. This year, you picked a quarterback number one overall. There should be a high level of positivity about that player in June before he's thrown his first NFL interception. I think there should be a pretty high level of positivity around the guy that you just turned down multiple first-round picks for to take number one overall and the first number one overall quarterback ever taken by the Tennessee Titans. There should be a high level of positivity. If there isn't, I think that would be more of a concern.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's just the league. It's football. I mean, you have these long off seasons. You have all these. You have these things that don't really amount to much, except for, you know, little drips and drabs of practice and things like that. And it's just like, there's just naturally going to be too much optimism in almost every market because most teams aren't going to live up to what – I mean, it's just how it is.
Everybody has a chance.
You can talk yourself into – yeah. And this league is built for everybody to go 9-8 or 8-9 anyway. So, I mean, you can talk yourself into a lot of things. But, sure, I mean, obviously, Titans fans really want this to finally work out. And it might. I don't know – you know, I don't know why confidence is a bad thing. David Argus says Jared was trying to compare Ward saying he has a confidence level of 10 to Jared saying he has a 4.0 GPA. He was absurd yesterday. I don't understand that. A 4.0 GPA is something tangible.
That's an achievement.
So if you're lying about that, then you shouldn't lie. Did you or did you? Did you not? There's actually a number applied to that. I mean – you know, a 10 confidence level, it's a cliche.
Right. It's such an arbitrary question to ask, like, scale 1 to 10, what's your confidence? I'd like for the quarterback to say 10, even if he's not feeling that way. Because, again, I think people would have had worse reactions if he said 6 or 7. And I think there is a difference. Like, confidence can have multiple definitions. It could be just the belief in yourself and your natural abilities, which I think Cam Ward does have a 10 in terms of belief in himself.
Yeah, most people don't get to the NFL if it's not pretty high, even, you know, before they did all the things to get to the NFL, right?
I think confidence is almost it's a necessity if you're going to make it to the NFL, because if you don't believe that you can do it, you're probably not going to be able to do it. But I think there's also a confidence that comes in repeating what he's going to do this season, of like going through a game plan and playing in NFL defense. There is more confidence that he can build on that. But in terms of just a natural belief in himself, I think the quarterback has to be at a 10, or else he's going to take sacks because he's not confident in his ability to make every throw.
Yeah. Yeah. This texter said, I think Jared was on the Bill Belichick thing for reading his book, saying confidence comes from repetition. Maybe it isn't a bad thing. He's lower on confidence. His repetition with the new team is low. He's just being honest. Yeah, I mean, I think you laid it out well there. It's like, yeah, there's some things where you do have to put in the work, and, you know, it's like, I mean, even for, you know, a lot of coaches will say, you know, you can be jacked up for a game on a Sunday, but what was your preparation? You know,
yeah,
that's what matters. Yeah, great, you're emotional and ready to go on Sunday, but did you put in the work all week to be prepared? Andrew says, Jared says confidence can only come from having done something. Ward hasn't played an NFL game, so he can only be opportunistic. Typical Jared trying to put. Yeah, I don't know. This is semantics and
word
definition stuff. That
you're 100% right that confidence alone is not going to get you anywhere in the NFL. Just having a belief that you can be successful isn't going to make you successful. You have to do all of the other things that come with that, but I think it is a necessary ingredient if you're going to be an NFL quarterback to just believe in what you can do. And, you know, if there is a tight window that you have to throw it into, you've got to be on time and rip it instead of maybe the slight moment of hesitation that could end up leading to an interception, which we've seen with quarterbacks in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, look, again, the confidence, I think that Cam Ward, when it comes to that word, he does need to be, at times, I think, less confident in some throws that he thinks he can make. And I think you may learn that the hard way, but, you know, if you do have games like that, a four book game, you know, you hope that you adjust. So you definitely need to adjust, you know, just being a gunslinger. There are very few guys who have been able to, I mean, Jameis Winston is tremendously talented. That's why he's still in the league.
Right.
But he's not a starter because he
can't stop giving the ball away.
You know, Brett Favre is a classic example of the guy who threw horrific picks his whole career, but he still overcame it. He still did way more good than bad. Robbie Rexo, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We come back. More on Cam Ward and your reaction. Also, there is one thing the Titans are doing that I find incredibly cheesy. We'll get to that. 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman in for Robbie Stanley today. Connor Newt in for Ian, and we're talking Titans. We have Jared Stillman, who can explain his definition of the word confidence at the top of the hour. And we've really gone deep on that. As Joel says in the text line, the problem is still he has a four-hour show every day and has to manufacture long rants on minor topics. I think there may be some truth to that. But, yeah, I did hear the Belichick thing he played, which I thought was interesting. Bill Belichick reading, you know, like the audiobook element with Bill Belichick.
Right, yeah.
Is somehow he's even more of a robot doing that than, like, in real life when he's talking. It's just Bill.
It might be perfect to put you to sleep, though. Just
that's
the dulcet
true.
Tones of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's definitely an insomnia cure, but it's like you said, it's how you want to define it. But, I mean, Cam Ward, I do think more people would react to Cam Ward talking about low confidence than they are just saying, what's your confidence level? 10 out of 10. Great. Have a good day. You know, like, here, let's go through all the cliches. You know, just want to be there for the team and
put my best foot forward. And
yeah, exactly. You know. So, I think, again, the thing with him will be on the field, risk-taking. And of course, accuracy. I think the underrated thing about Will Levis and why he's a backup is because Will Levis missed too many gimmies. You know, it's like this week that, you know, like the pass that sailed and it's just a dump down to the back and it goes 5 yards over his head. I know that he worked hard on his mechanics and said this week that he thinks that he's got that improved, which is good. He needs to do that. I'm not giving up on Will Levis ever having a chance in this league, but the risk taking and the not getting it in there, not hitting the strike zone at a high enough level. And I'm not sure, you know, with Cam Ward, I love the different arm angles and things like that, but yeah, that's as big as anything. There are guys in this league who start at quarterback who don't have anywhere near the talent of guys who don't, and just because they get the ball out on time and in the right spot. Kirk Cousins is, to me, the prevailing example of a guy who doesn't have the talent to be an NFL starter, but those things are there. So
right. Brock Purdy would be another example. Honestly, you could throw Tom Brady in the category of not nearly as talented as pretty much any other of the great quarterbacks of his generation. Peyton Manning was more talented. I think Drew Brees was more talented. But he made the right decision every single time and knew exactly what he needed to do on every play. Yeah. And that is the more important side of playing quarterback rather than arm talent.
Yeah, the pre-snap. Yeah, the pre-snap cat and mouse game, knowing exactly what you're seeing, knowing what you're having a plan and then getting it out accurately and on time. I mean, that's why, you know, Tom Brady went 199 because of what you just said. He wasn't nearly as talented as a lot of these guys. So a couple of things that happened yesterday. Bryce Oliver has 3 touchdowns. We have not talked much about Bryce Oliver in the receiver room. There are much more interesting players in the receiver room for people. And I'm guilty of talking about Xavier Restrepo all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy who's, you know, a fringe player in this receiver room. But Bryce Oliver, worth mentioning that he, that he is around and he's a threat to be on this team. What about you? We should put you down, Jake. Are you Restrepo making the team or not making the team?
I would lean that he makes the team now. I think after this week, I think it was 2 weeks ago I said I lean no. I think I'm now starting to lean yes, but they might have to keep 7 to keep him on the team. Like, because I you're going to keep all of your veterans, I think. Ridley, obviously. Lockett. Van Jefferson. You're keeping your 4th-round picks, DK, Iamanner. That's 5. And then Bryce Oliver, I don't know how you cut him because he has shown on an NFL field that he can make plays, which Xavier Restrepo hasn't quite shown yet. If Restrepo has a massive training camp, he may force their hand and force them to cut Bryce Oliver if they only keep 6.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, some of it is like, okay, who when you expose this guy, who's more likely to get snatched up on waivers as opposed to...
That's also a good point.
I think if Restrepo has a huge camp, then one, that probably earns his way on the team anyway, but also then you do probably worry if you're the Titans about somebody being interested out there.
Yeah, Returner, I think, is also a part of this too, with like a guy like James Prochet. If he is your punt returner, does he steal somebody's roster spot? And at that point, if you're keeping James Prochet only to be the punt returner, that means that Restrepo or Oliver, whoever gets cut, didn't have a good enough camp to make the team anyway. But I think I'd lean towards him making the team. I think they'll keep. I think they will keep seven, and I think Oliver and Restrepo both make the team. Obviously, it's still just June. We'll find out a lot more in July and August as we lead up to cutting down to 53. But I think at this moment, I would say yes on Restrepo making the team.
Okay. Yep, I'm there too. But again, like, there are people who I think actually think he's going to be like a rookie of the year candidate. We need to pump the brakes on
temper
that.
Temper the expectations a little bit. Like, honestly, I don't even know how much he would see the field if he makes the team. Like, I think he would play, but it's not like he's going to be out there for 60 to 70% of the snaps, I think. I think he'd be more like 15 to 25% of the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, yeah.
If he's your sixth or seventh receiver, he's probably not out there very much.
Right. Like a guy like, you know, if DK doesn't carve out a regular role, and maybe he does, but if he doesn't, he's a guy that you mix in as a vertical threat or
right.
something like that. You know, Restrepo,
Khalif Raymond.
Yeah, yeah. Taywan Taylor. I mean, yeah. You know, Restrepo is, I mean, to me, he's a backup in the slot.
Yes, I agree. I think he will be your second slot receiver if he makes the team. So you never know. Maybe an injury leads to sure. him getting on the field more often, and maybe he does have a huge year. But rookie of the year, I think, is a stretch. I would venture to say if Restrepo is on the team the entire season, he probably ends the year with 300 receiving yards and a couple of touchdowns or something like that.
That'd be a very good outcome to me.
For an undrafted free agent, for sure.
Yeah. So I got to say, football coaches just love, like, acronyms. We've already been ripping the new NCAA, the new college football acronym, the CSC. Get ready for the College Sports Commission as it judges all of your NIL deals, which I'm sure that'll go well. We'll get into some of that later too, by the way. But so this Brian Callahan thing, the SIN. Did you see this?
I did not actually see this.
SIN. Okay, they're self-inflicted negatives. but so like the transcript of this is like, you know, the sins that we can control, and it's spelled out, you know, capital S period, capital I period, capital N period. We gotta stop this stuff. Football coaches, can we stop this stuff? And you know, some football coaches more than others like to get into these little catchphrases and these little acronyms and goofy stuff. Yeah, you know, we just take it easy on that stuff.
Everybody does it though. Like I know the we were just talking Virginia Tech football. WIN, what's important now? They do that single year. It's like all these coaches. They love the acronym when they can come up with something kind of catchy that plays into it. You know, self-inflicted negative. It's a sin. Makes it nice and easy. But, yeah, it feels a little cheesy to be saying, oh, Cam, that throw across the middle, that's a sin.
S-I-N, Cam. Yeah, it's like some of these, like, okay, Derek Mason, friend of the show, Derek Mason, Middle Tennessee, RTI. Gotta make sure I have it right. Relentless, tough, and intelligent. I believe that's right. Relentless, tough. Okay, RTI. So that's fine. I guess it's like, to me, it's if you come up with those, you want them, you do it because you want players to remember stuff.
Right.
But like SIN, it's just cheesy. Like this does not have any value. I don't see how this helps you with the players. Hey, that's a SIN. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that RTI helps you either, but this is how I want to play. I want to be relentless, tough, and intelligent. Vrabel did this stuff too. I forget what it's. Vrabel had goofy, and you know, Vrabel always had to have a catchphrase for every year, like this is the chase or the journey or the dream.
They
whatever.
Always do
the,
that. Yeah,
you know.
I know Vandy. I like what Vandy football does. Is it's just team four this year, like that. That's what they or team five or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It, at least it's not just you know.
Now you're getting into Butch Jones. See, Butch Jones did team whatever for Tennessee, which was a total ripoff of Michigan. Michigan's been doing that forever,
right, for sure.
Team 133 or whatever. Yeah. So is that what Clark does? Team, but it's just of his era.
Of his era, yeah. But. Yeah, Butch Jones said that what that his first 2 years didn't count at Arkansas State or something like that.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, I remember seeing a clip about that. He said his first 2 years didn't count, so you can't fire him.
It's a champion of life right there, though.
Yeah, that he is. He is a champion of life.
C-O-L? Yeah, COL, Butch Jones.
I need to know, are the Titans, are they going to have confessionals for their sins? Like, forgive me, Callie, for I have sinned.
No, there you go.
Are we going to get into that throughout the season?
Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, go in and talk to Callie and confess your S-I-N's. someone texted E-L-E. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. If you're going to send us these acronyms, we need an explanation.
Explain it, please. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to have our resident GNS, genius. That was dumb. Jared Stillman. We're going to talk confidence and Cam Ward with Jared and other things on Robbie and Rex. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.